Good morning and welcome to Thankful Thursday on Spirit in the Morning. I am thankful that you are listening to the program today. We've got a great show for you. My name is Gary Zimak. Let's kick it off with prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, you have brought us to the beginning of another day. Thank you so much. A lot of times we focus on what we don't have. Today we're going to start things off by focusing on what we do have. And the first thing that comes to mind is your love. Your love, no matter what we do, Father, we know that you love us. We also thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to live among us, to die, and to rise from the dead so that the gates of heaven could be open. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift of Holy Spirit Radio. We thank you, Father, for all of our listeners to the program. And I ask you to speak through us today so that your message can go out over the airwaves. And we ask for these things through the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Amen. Thank you again for tuning into the program. As I said, it is Thankful Thursday. That's what we're going to call it here at Spirit in the Morning. You know what I'm thankful for? Well, I am thankful for so many things. One of them is sitting right across from me, Mr. David Parker.
Thank you, Gary. That's so nice. I love Thankful Thursday.
You like that?
Yeah.
Dave, isn't it easy to wake up in the morning and to let your mind wander to, like, all the things you don't have and all the things you're not happy about? I am very guilty of this.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I am too. Many times.
It's very easy to do that. So we're going to try to help you to remember that, you know, we have all been blessed. We are blessed because the Lord loves us. He's with us. And we can forget that so easily. Mm-hmm. Dave Parker, before...
Yes,
well,
Gary's
let me, I'm keeping things formal here, just to differentiate, to make sure that no other Dave around here is confused. That's why I refer to you as Dave Parker. On the program today is our weekly pro-life segment. Bobby Schindler will join us from Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Network. He's going to be with us, as well as Chris Stewart. Chris Stewart is the author of the new book, Casting Nets with the Saints. Chris is a good friend. He lives in Wichita, Kansas. He's going to wake up bright and early to be with us to talk about how we can learn to evangelize from the saints.
Wow.
Hey, they did it well, right? Why
oh,
not
absolutely.
Go to them?
Absolutely.
So he's got this new book out, and I'm proud to say that as I lift this book up, which you can't see on radio, but Mr. Parker could see.
I can see a little bit.
One of the endorsements is from Gary Zimak from followingthetruth.com.
Wow.
So,
Thank you.
I've endorsed this book.
I bet you he's thankful for
good
that.
Good book. All right, Parker, we all want to know. Yes. Now it's Parker. Now we're dropping it.
I didn't mean to get you off your game, brother.
All right. Go ahead. Now we all need to know. Yesterday was the anniversary for Mr. and Mrs. Dave Parker.
Yes.
You were going to dinner. You left us in suspense yesterday.
Yes, I did.
May I ask where you went?
We went to a fine restaurant, fine eating establishment in Richboro, Pennsylvania, known as...
How was it?
Alms House. Because, yeah, I'll tell you why.
Did you enjoy yourself?
Oh, it was an excellent dinner. I'll tell you why. Because I was talking to someone else during the day before that, and they said, and they kind of get into, because there's this number associated with that, Alms House 59. But some of these people kept saying, they kind of change up the number, and they have this little thing going between them. So I thought that was kind of funny. So I got confused. Wow, and it's early. But Gary, let me say this. You know, you say it's Thankful Thursday and you're thankful for me. I'm very thankful for you.
Well, thank you for saying
before
that.
Before we drive on. Yeah, I'm thankful
and we don't,
for so
we're not
things.
Kidding about that. We
no,
are thankful for
no.
one another. We're
yeah.
thankful for being able to be here together
yeah.
to... You know, as you were listening to this program, you may not realize that Dave and I and Frank, when he's here, Frank is traveling right now, but we're thankful for you joining us every day.
Mm-hmm.
We're thankful for the emails we get, for the
Absolutely.
Comments we get, because we know we're out there. You know, wait, let me try that again. We know you're out there. We're here. You're there. All right, I got it straight.
Sometimes we're out there, too.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Anyway, but we're thankful for a lot of things here at Spirit in the Morning. Dave, a couple of pieces of news that I wanted to share. Man, I got a lot of stuff today.
Oh, wow, you're on
a lot
roll.
Of stuff today. As announced on the Sunrise Morning Show this morning, which airs on Holy Spirit Radio immediately before our program, Matt Swaim is coming back. Matt Swaim, the former producer, co-host of Sunrise Morning Show, is coming back to join Anna Mitchell on the show. He'll keep his job at the Coming Home Network as well. Matt will be back as of Monday. So that's kind of exciting news. Matt's the guy, we had him on our show last week, who gave me my start in Catholic radio many years ago on the Sunrise Morning Show. So it's going to be great to have him back.
How did you guys meet, briefly? I mean, how did that all
happen? I wrote an online blog post. I had no radio experience, wrote an online blog post. I started to blog more about the Catholic faith when I had my big conversion. Matt saw an article that I wrote, and he said, hey, do you want to come on to the Sunrise Morning Show to talk about it?
Wow.
And it's like, whoa, EWTN Radio, are you kidding?
Yeah.
But who knows? I mean, who knew where that would lead? So,
and the rest, as they say, folks, is history.
It's amazing.
And current.
So I'm excited to see Matt come back. Yes. He always did a great job, and Matt and Anna reunited is a really cool thing. Also on this show, we have been blessed, Dave, to have so many regular guests sign up and say, yeah, we want to be a part of your team. The latest addition was the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word, the EWTN Friars. Father Mark said, yep, we're in. Once a month, we're going to be on with you. Deacon Greg Kandra, who was on the show a few days ago, he also agreed to do a monthly slot.
Wow,
so we're going to put him in. And now this is what I'm really kind of happy about this. I'm happy about all of this, but...
And thankful.
Franciscan University at Steubenville. They are, I mean, you talk about a leading college when it comes to Catholic theology. They are right at the top of the list. They are awesome. We have been blessed to have Dr. John Bergsma with us from Franciscan University coming on once a month to talk about some Bible basics. Absolutely love his segment. Earlier this week, we had Dr. Alan Schreck, who is also a professor of theology at Franciscan.
What was his specialty, Marian?
He was talking about the Holy Spirit.
Oh, the Holy Spirit.
And he's going to really, he really began to unpack the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
So, I talked to Dr. Schreck, and I talked to Dr. Bergsma, and I said, hey, guys, can we get you on, not just on a monthly basis, but can we do a weekly Franciscan University forum each week on the program where you two can trade
off. How awesome is that?
So we're going to have that. Dr. Bergsma and Dr. Schreck are going to alternate weeks on Spirit in the Morning every Tuesday at 7:18. They're going to be our first guest.
All right.
To really help us dig deeper into some, you know, it's some deeper theology, but they both present their material in such a basic way that even I can understand it. So I'm excited to have them as part of the team.
Okay.
Well, you don't have to.
I know.
So I'm excited to have them as part of the team.
Gear.
Now, at the end of the show, if you stick around, I'm going to let you in on some of the guests who will be here next week. Some big-time guests coming up next week. Let's see. Current weather at the Philadelphia International Airport, 71 degrees. Today, mostly sunny, high near 89. Tonight, we're going to have mostly cloudy with a low around 87. Friday, some showers and thunderstorms, cloudy otherwise with a high near 87. At the moment in Phoenixville, 61 degrees. In Bensalem, 68 degrees. And in Wilmington, Delaware, we have 67 degrees. Okay, Mr. Parker, here's a question for you. Uh-oh. You're starting to panic, I can tell.
No.
Do you know what happened on this day, August the 17th, in 1969?
August 17th, 1969?
Yes. Now, I don't really expect you to know this, but this is a little This Day in History segment. Make you think.
Was it one of
that.
The Apollo
No, shots? But it was close. On this day in 1969, the Woodstock Music Festival concluded.
Wow.
Boy.
How could I forget? Well, I'll tell you how I could forget now.
Anyway,
I'm old enough I could have been there, but go ahead.
That's just something. No, that's all I have. Just a little tidbit I wanted to throw out there. Woodstock concluded. That was a little before my time. I was 10 years old in 1969, but I remember hearing about it and I saw the movie. That was quite a different experience.
It was, and not too far from where I grew up in Erie, Pennsylvania, and I probably could have gone, but I didn't. In a way, I'm glad I didn't go from all the pictures. But
I could just see you, Dave, with the beads on, you know. Did you ever have long hair?
I did.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
Picture that. How long? Down to your shoulders?
Not that long. But, I mean, because my hair, when it gets longer, It's kind of curly, wavy, and it doesn't go long straight. It goes long fluff. You know, and
I'm trying to picture that. I mean, you have a good
wire,
head of hair.
I have little wired John Lennon glasses.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
How about a beard? Do you have a bushy
no,
beard?
No, I did not.
Okay. I'm just trying to picture back in the 60s. And
yeah. I grew up swimming, so I had to kind of keep that way. But, I mean, oh, yeah. I mean, that was the era where, I mean, Woodstock, everyone knows. And maybe many of our listeners can hearken back to the music. I loved a lot of the music.
Yeah.
I mean, some classics, you know, Jimi Hendrix and those folks. You know, I don't want to go too far afield, but, yes, I did not know the precise date, Gary.
You know what's funny? I like a lot of different kinds of music. And yes, don't worry, we are getting to the gospel. But one of the types of music I have always loved, even when I was young, was 50s music. I liked the oldies, if you will. Sha Na Na, I think, made their debut at Woodstock of all groups. I mean, they were like one of the opening groups. You wouldn't picture them fitting in with Jimi Hendrix and everybody, but they were there.
Uh-oh,
we have 1 minute. It is time for the gospel. It's a tough one today.
Yes. We can pick this Woodstock thing up later.
Matthew chapter 18, verses 20, beginning in verse 21. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus answered, "I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a large amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold along with his wife, his children, and all his property in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, 'Be patient with me, and I'll pay you back in full.' Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When the servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and he started to choke him, demanding, 'Pay back what you owe.' Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, 'Be patient with me and I'll pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. When his fellow servants saw what happened, they were disturbed and went to their master, reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave your entire debt because you begged me. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant?'" My friends, this is what you got to remember. You have been forgiven much by the Father. We have got to forgive everybody. Tough message, but it's powerful. When we come back, Bobby Schindler. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 17th. Today we celebrate St. Joan of the Cross. An encounter with a shabby old woman, others dismissed as insane, prompted Joan to dedicate her life to the poor. For someone with a reputation as a businesswoman, intent on monetary success, this was a significant conversion. Born in France in 1666, Joan worked in the family business, a small shop near a religious shrine, from an early age. After her parents' death, she took over the shop and quickly became known for her greediness and insensitivity. That was until she was touched by the strange woman who claimed she was on intimate terms with the deity. Joan, who had always been devout, even scrupulous, became a new person. She began caring for needy children. Then the poor, elderly, and sick came to her. Over time, she closed the family business so she could devote herself fully to good works and penance. She went on to found a religious congregation that came to be known as the Congregation of Saint Anne of Providence. By the time of her death in 1736, Joan had founded 12 religious houses, plus numerous hospices and schools. Pope John Paul II canonized her in 1982. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit,
Spirit,
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. Feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, oh, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you feel lost, well, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. Oh, if you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, well, he's a chain breaker.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Zach Williams with Chainbreaker. I'm Gary Zimak. Glad to have you with us today. The time at the moment is 7:18. Well, every Thursday on Spirit of the Morning, we feature a pro-life guest to help you to really understand what's going on in the pro-life movement. And, you know, it covers so many different aspects. Today, we are joined by our friend Bobby Schindler, who's the president of the Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Network. You can find out more about his work online by going to lifeandhope.com. Bobby joins us now to fill us in on some news, some happenings that are going on with his work. Bobby, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
I am doing wonderful, Bobby. Thanks so much for coming on. It means a lot that you're a regular guest on this program. We really appreciate it. Bobby, some things going on I wanted to ask you about, things that you have recently posted about, and I wanted to get you to weigh in. Something about, I saw a story that there's a California hospital that was sued for refusing to assist suicide?
Right, that was a story by our friend Wesley J. Smith, who regularly publishes really what's going on in our nation when it comes to this issue, and he wrote that story where assisted suicide was legalized in California,
right?
Just recently, and I guess there was a hospital that was refusing to administer or carry out the assisted suicide. So mm-hmm. The hospital, now that it's the law, turned around and was going to hold them accountable for that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this is a sign of things to come? We're going to see a lot more of this.
I tell you, Gary, I mean, there's not a day that doesn't go by where something happens that shocks me anymore with this movement and with this agenda. Yeah. I mean, we had a case this past week where a hospital, after hours, so to speak, it was late in the day, where their daughter was getting medical treatment that was needed.
Right.
In fact, if she went without it for hours, I believe it was blood transfusion. And the hospital told the parents, they came in and said they felt like the treatment was futile, it wasn't working, and they were going to stop it.
Right.
And the family was blindsided, and there was nothing they could do. So the hospital went ahead and stopped treatment.
Whoa.
And the family now was looking to try to get it resumed. And in the process, they were trying to find attorneys to try to get a judge, to get an injunction, to get the hospital to administer treatment. And in the midst of all this, their daughter died.
Oh.
And there was nothing the family could do because hospitals now are in this position where they're able to do these types of things.
Despite, I mean, they can overrule the family's wishes.
Right. They have what they call these futile theory, where they declare that the treatment is futile and therefore they're going to stop treatment for whatever it is that they're treating the patient for. Mm-hmm. And there's not much a hospital can do, the parents or their service can do in a short period of time. Now, if they do have time, there is a possibility of getting, if they can find an attorney to try and get the hospital to legally resume, at least on a temporary basis. But this is what we do day to day, Gary.
Right.
We get calls from families that are in these types of situations where hospitals are trying to stop treatment, do not care, and we have to figure out a way to see if we can help this family, in fact, help whoever it is that they're advocating for.
And that's why I think it's so important what you do, because in a crisis situation, the family is concerned about the health, the survival of their child, their loved one. They're panicking, and then the hospital may come and say, well, we have to stop treatment. Well, finding an attorney is not easy at that point because you're panicking. You don't know where to start. That's why what you do is so important.
Yeah, and there's all types of, many times hospitals will do this on a Friday because they know time of day naturally, right, it's going to be very difficult for parents or whoever it is that's in the situation to find attorneys or to do what they need to do on a Friday afternoon. So we find that happens quite a bit. So it's just this, again, Gary, I mean, it's what we, and I know we've been talking about it on some of the interviews already, but
yeah.
we have now a very aggressive, and I don't want to paint a broad picture here or a broad brush. I mean, I think I said it before, there's some wonderful facilities out there, but it seems to me that we're seeing more and more of these cost measures by these hospitals, and they're imposing their decisions and values on families when families are disagree with treatment options.
Now, I think it's important that we present the truth. I want to get it out there. That's why I have you on. I ask you these questions, and we need to know about these things, but we also need to remember, and this is what you're really good at, Bobby, the fact that ultimately God is in charge. He's bigger than these problems. There is hope. It's not like there is no hope. There is something we can do. One of the things that you do on your website that I noticed, you present some positive stories about miraculous recoveries, and it's important to know that for us and to get the word out there that, yeah, the doctors might say that this person couldn't recover or will not recover, but there were countless stories of people who have recovered miraculously. Can you share any recent ones with us?
Yeah, and just real quick, I mean, that's what it goes back to, and that's what oftentimes we're fighting for. It's just time.
Right.
It's getting the family, affording them the time that they're asking for to try and help their loved one. I mean, many times, hospitals will come in and make these decisions in a very short period of time after whatever happens to that person. Say there's a car accident and they experience a serious brain injury. Many times hospitals will come in and say, look, or the doctors will give a very grim prognosis, and they want to discontinue care. And the families are, can we just have some time to see if this person can recover? And we saw that, we post stories all the time, Gary, and they're on our website, as you mentioned, of people that have just been given time, afforded time, and given rehabilitation and therapy, and they've responded to that time and that rehab, and where they've made vast improvements. I think there was one we just posted yesterday of a girl, I think it was in Florence, South Carolina, that was involved in, and I forget exactly what caused her brain injury, but the family the hospital or the doctors weren't sure she was going to improve, and the family, many times, Gary, as you mentioned, the families always thank God for the miracle or for their loved one that recovers, because they owe it all to Him for whatever it is that caused this person to experience that type of recovery.
Right, and I'm looking at the details of the story right now. 14-year-old Reagan Morris was told that her family was told 90% of the people that have this injury never made it to the hospital. She's going back to school. I mean, that's incredible. But it's important, Bobby, that we highlight these good news stories, because sometimes the doctors get it wrong. I don't know if you and I have talked about this. I've mentioned it on the air. My twin daughters, they're 19 years old now. They were given a 10% chance to survive. So praise God, they made it. The doctors, you know, they don't always get it right. There's always hope. And I think that's one of the things that you are out there fighting for, that there's hope, and we can't rule these people out.
No, we try to post as many stories as we can of individuals that, as you said, that weren't given much hope or made some type of recoveries against what the doctors were prognosing, just to let people know that you're right, Gary. I mean, doctors don't always know, and we need to always do what we can to help these individuals. You know, it's kind of fascinating to me. There's this dichotomy going on where there's a lot of money and there's a lot of research being put into brain research and brain study, and we're finding a lot of things about the brain and rehab and different therapies that help the brain improve from different types of traumatic brain injuries. And at the same time, we see all this promise out there, and at the same time, our country is working to make it easier to kill these individuals with the laws and the policies.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're doing more to
paradox.
Help these individuals. Yeah, and at the same time, we're making it easier to kill them. So it's just very frustrating to see this going in two different directions.
It sure is. Now, Bobby, we have about a minute left. I want to make sure you give us a chance. There are many people are going to be listening who want to help you, who want to join in your mission to help you to stand up for those who can't really stand up for themselves. Can you tell us the best way that we can help you out and join in your mission?
Sure. Well, you visit our website, lifeandhope.com, and you can get involved and educate yourself on the issues and pay attention to what's going on. We're always in the need of people advocating for not only their loved ones, but for others as well, particularly in these times. And of course, we're a nonprofit, so we are sustained by the generosity of people that want to support us in that way. So that's always something else you can do as well. But we just appreciate your prayers, and we're just going to continue doing what we do day to day to help families that are in these types of. Sometimes terrible situations.
Yeah. Well, Bobby, I want to thank you for all that you do. You're always going to have our support. Whatever we can do to help you, we'll be there for you. God bless you, my brother. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Gary. God bless you, too.
All right. Thank you. That's Bobby Schindler, who's the president of the Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Network, doing some really good work. Consider helping them out. And you can find out more at lifeandhope.com. When we come back, Chris Stewart is going to share how we can cast nets with the saints.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. They sang spirituals and observed a moment of silence. Hundreds of people gathered on the University of Virginia campus last night for a candlelight vigil against hate and violence. They also remembered Heather Heyer, the 32-year-old woman killed over the weekend when a car plowed into a crowd of people protesting a white nationalist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. The head of the U.S. Bishops' Conference is calling for prayer, unity, peace, and action in the wake of the racially charged violence in Charlottesville last weekend. Cardinal Daniel DiNardo told Vatican Radio that Catholics must speak out against racism and all other forms of intolerance.
I think that where a small group of hate is met consistently by, I think, the larger numbers of people in our country and in our church who are certainly opposed to that kind of racism and nationalistic baiting, that's a presence. Part of the problem of any kind of evil getting a foothold is when the really good people don't say anything.
Cardinal DiNardo said it is important that we speak and act together. And students in Guam are returning to school after summer break in spite of the recent North Korean missile threats. All 41 public schools opened at the start of a new school year for 30,000 students. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Hi, friends. This is Victoria Gisandi with Priest for Life. On Saturday, September 9th, Priest for Life is co-sponsoring the National Day of Remembrance, on which prayer services are held across the nation at the gravesites of aborted babies. Please join us at 10 a.m. at Laurel Hill Cemetery on Ridge Avenue in Philadelphia. Father Frank Pavone will preside over a service at the grave of the children killed by Philadelphia abortionist Kermit Gosnell. Come for a time of healing for all wounded by abortion and recommit to the protection of children in the womb. For more information, visit abortionmemorials.com.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi.
A small marker has been mounted on a carousel that now stands on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. This merry-go-round has an unbreakable connection to Dr. Martin Luther King's memorable I Have a Dream speech. It was on the same day that he delivered those words that the carousel, then located in Baltimore, was first open to both white and black children. A civil rights protest, complete with counter-protests from a mob of segregationists, led to the decision years ago that the whites-only carousel would instead be open to all. It set off an uproar, but the decision stood. The opening of that carousel to all caused one of Dr. King's dreams, that black and white children play side by side, to come true.
This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You're listening to Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
One, two, three.
Amen. That was "And All the People Said Amen" by Matt Maher.
Amen.
I'm Gary Zimak. Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. The time right now is 7:35. So you want to evangelize. You want to share the good news, but you're a little confused. How do I do it? I'm not that good of a speaker. I'm unable to know what to say. Who better to look to than the saints? My next guest has written a book called Casting Nets with the Saints. Chris Stewart joins us now on the program. Hey, Chris, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Gary. It's great to hear your voice.
Hey, man, it's been a long time. How have you been?
It has been.
How have you been?
Very good.
You doing good?
Very good, yeah.
Awesome.
Blast.
Hey, listen, buddy, let's talk a little bit before we do the book, which, by the way, I was pleased to endorse, and I stand by the endorsement. Great job with the book. Talk a little bit, Chris, if you will, about Casting Nets Ministries and the work that you do to teach others how to evangelize.
Yeah, thank you. It's an apostolate that we started about 12 years ago, dedicated to inspiring and equipping Catholics to share the gospel. You know, that we want to get the message out there that, look, as Christian disciples, as Catholics, we have a moral obligation to share the faith. This is not something that we can just pass off to specialists or to priests or the religious, but each of us, as followers of Christ, have a responsibility to bring others to Jesus. And so that message needs to be heard. If we want to do something that will grow our faith, we need to share it. And then secondly, we want to be able to equip people to do that well, to do that efficiently, and to do it with confidence, and to do it with beauty. And so everything that we do, from missions to retreats, conference speaking, our resources, is for that purpose.
You know, Chris, you and I have talked many times about this. This is a big problem in the Catholic world. The we may have the desire, we all... I was lukewarm for many years. All of a sudden, I got to know Christ, and I want to go share him with everyone. And then I panic because I realize, oh, I don't know what to say. That's a big problem, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we just get tongue-tied. We don't know how to speak about it. We are afraid that we're going to offend somebody. We're afraid we're going to be too pushy.
Right.
We're afraid that they're going to say no. And in saying no, we think we've lost our chance. Or that they're going to never speak to us again.
Yeah.
And but, you know, our job is just to cast the nets out into the deep. Our job is to throw the seed and let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does. And that's our call.
And that's challenging because a lot of times we want to take over and do the Holy Spirit's work. And when we evangelize and somebody's not receptive to the message, we want to hit them over the head with our Bible and say, what are you talking about? Why don't you listen to me, right?
And we feel like we have failed, right? And,
yeah.
And especially, Gary, when we're talking with our family, this is where, you know, it gets even...
Oh, yeah.
You know, now our heart so desperately wants them to come in to the church, come back to Christ, that if we fail, then the stakes are just so high.
Yep.
So it almost paralyzes us.
Yep.
That's what we, you know, we want people to feel confident of what they can do in those situations, and so, you know, that's why we started this ministry.
And you guys are doing great work, and we'll do what we can to support you. I'm going to have your website linked at our site, spiritinthemorning.com. Let's talk a little bit about the new book, Casting Nets with the Saints. When it comes to evangelization, Chris, in the book, you point to the saints as our role models, as people who can help us. Talk a little bit about why it's important that we turn to the saints when we want to learn to become better evangelists.
Yeah, it's just like anything in life, right? If you know, whether it's sports or in the business world, if you want to be successful, you look to those people who have done it well previously.
Right.
So I was born in North Carolina, so when I think about basketball, I want to model my game after who? After Michael Jordan.
Right.
That's who I want to look to.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this role of evangelization, saints were saint makers. Saints were just oasis of bringing others to Jesus Christ. So let's look to them in how we're going to do this. And then in my research for the book, this is really what I found, was that the saints, really, truly were saint makers. And so they did certain things. Like, here's something that I found out. Just how many saints knew other saints?
Well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They actually encountered, knew, talked with other saints. And so in my own life, it made me realize, like, okay, so I want to be a saint maker. I want to bring the gospel of it. Well, who are these other saints in my life that I need to know that can encourage me? And I thought, well, good thing I know Gary, right? He's out there, you know, we're going to save souls together. And so we gotta find these other people in our lives that are going to encourage us to seek heaven and to seek souls. Then I also began to really realize that saints still have a role today in our evangelization efforts. And I'm not simply just talking like, you know, hey, let's pray for this, you know, for this saint. They really have a role. They're not just bystanders watching us, encouraging us. So I really encourage everybody to begin, you know, like if you're trying to reach somebody, do they have a saint name? Are they named after a saint? Do you know their baptismal name? Do you know their confirmation saint name? And if perhaps you don't know any of those, do you know, you know, just begin to pray about this person and ask a saint to show themselves, to manifest themselves, to let you know what saint is kind of watching over this person. Mm-hmm. And then to begin to intercede to that saint for the conversion, for the grace of mercy for this person you're trying to reach. And it's amazing what that begins to do in your evangelization effort.
Wow, that's a great idea. Now, Chris, I want to touch on something that you mentioned. The idea that a saint from the 10th, 11th, 12th century can help me to evangelize in the 21st century. Do you ever encounter people who might say, well, how's that going to work out? What do they know about dealing with social media and things of that nature? Do you run into trouble like that sometimes? And if so, what would you say?
Yeah, the universal principles of salesmanship, right? The universal principles of anything in life don't change. Okay. Now, our distractions indeed may change.
Right.
Look, sin has not changed. We have maybe have found new ways to experience the same sin or extend the pleasure that sin promises, but the sin hasn't changed.
Okay.
Humans have not changed. And so this is where a saint, either from its something that we can glean from a 3rd century saint or 11th century saint, is still going to be the same and facing the same problems, the same temptation. And so it's why even, you know, obviously how Jesus evangelized is still effective today, how the apostles evangelized is still effective today.
Yeah, and I think we have that tendency to sort of reinvent the wheel, which is counterproductive. And we look at their examples. They've done this. They've blazed the trail. So we might as well take advantage of their work.
Right. Yeah, in fact, I would say this, Gary. I see in the church today, not only do we, you know, maybe sometimes we want to reinvent the wheel, or sometimes churches and people today are so program-driven. So what they want is they want something that they can just plug into their church and do. I just want a program. I want a DVD set that's just going to evangelize my community. But here's the thing is evangelization is not a program. It's not, you know, do A and then B and then, whoa, you have C, which is a conversion.
Right.
I wish it were. Yeah. I'm sure every parent wishes it were. Every grandparent wishes it were. But it's not. It's a way of life. It's living and walking in the Spirit, but having confidence that if we want others to come to the church and we want others to have salvation, here's the great thing. I am confident that God wants this as well.
Wow.
He even wants it more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we can have confidence in that this work is His work, and we are in His will in trying to bring the gospel to others.
Amen, brother. The book is Casting Nets with the Saints by Chris Stewart from Our Sunday Visitor Publications. Great book. We're going to have a link to it at spiritinthemorning.com. If you want to bring Casting Nets, Chris, if you want to bring the team out to our church, our listeners are able to do that, correct?
Yes, that is correct. We will we will travel, as the saying goes, and come into your parish to do, you know, evangelism training, to do a mission, to really inspire and equip others to share the gospel.
Awesome. We're going to have your information link. Now, we have less than a minute to go. Now, you know what I told you, brother? I said, you better be good if you're going to come on this show, because I don't want you to make me look bad. Well, you know what? You were good. So good work.
Good. Good.
Hey.
Yeah, I wanted to outshine you, Gary. I mean, yeah, you know,
absolutely.
I'm competitive. I got
to
win.
Hey, Stuart, that's not hard to do. It's not hard to outshine me. That's one thing for sure. Chris, before I let you go, because we just have a few seconds before we hit the break, I want to thank you because you mentioned you and I are real friends off the air. We met several years ago. You're one of the guys that kept me going in full-time ministry with some words of encouragement. So it's tough, and I'm glad I have you as a friend. So thank you.
I'm blessed with you in my life as well, Gary. Thank you so much.
All right, brother. Thanks again for joining us on the program.
All right. Take care.
All right. Chris Stewart, the book is Casting Nets with the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Learn from the Best How to Share
Beautiful.
The Faith. Great,
yeah.
Simple message. Very readable
Absolutely.
Book, Dave Parker.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the cover.
Very.
Some nice illustrations of yes. the various saints. 56 different saints in the book. I recommend picking up a mm-hmm. copy today.
Yeah, it just reminds me, the communion of saints. We have
yep.
access to the communion of saints.
And yet we try to do it all by ourselves sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So
yes.
why not turn to the saints
Absolutely.
For some advice? So check out
and
the
help.
Book. Yep.
yep.
Check out the book. More information can be found at SpiritInTheMorning.com. We're going to take a little break. I'm going to grab some more coffee, and we'll be back on the other side with the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Stay tuned.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Summers & Zims. Summers & Zims provides quality service in plumbing, heating, and air conditioning and refrigeration. They are proud to serve Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square. They also serve southern and eastern Lancaster County. Summers & Zims' telephone number is 610-593-5129, and their website is sumzim.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 18:21, Peter asked Jesus, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus responded, "Not seven times, but 77 times." He then likened the kingdom of heaven to a king who forgave the debt of a servant. That same servant then refused to forgive the debt of one of his fellow servants. When the king heard of this, he demanded payment from the servant to whom he had given mercy. Jesus then reminded them that his Father will do the same to us if we don't forgive each other from our hearts. I'll bet you have heard this passage many times. Now, have you ever forgiven the same person 77 times? How about 7 times? Nor have I. But we've certainly asked the Lord's forgiveness that many times and more. All the more reason to forgive each other. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
In my own little world, it hardly ever rains. Never gone hungry, always felt safe. I got some money in my pocket, shoes on my feet. In my own little world, population, me. I try to stay awake during Sunday morning church. I throw a 20 in the plate, but I never give till it hurts. And I turn off the news when I don't like what I see. It's easy to do when it's population, me. What if there's a bigger picture? What if I'm missing out? What if there's a greater purpose? I could be living right now. Outside my own little world. Ooh.
Stopped at a red light, looked out my window. I saw cardboard signs that held this homeless widow. And just above that sign was the face of a human. I thought to myself, God, what have I been doing? So I rolled down the window and I looked her in the eye. Oh, how many times have I just passed her by?
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Matthew West with My Own Little World. I'm Gary Zimak, and it is time now for your Be Not Afraid Bible verse. If you are feeling a little anxious, I want you to think about this today. This comes from Psalm 139, verse 1. Lord, you have probed me. You know me.
Mm-hmm.
Simple, right?
Yeah.
But the Lord knows each of us better than we know ourselves. We forget that sometimes.
Yeah, we do.
So he knows us. Yeah. He knows all about our imperfections. I could go on and list the many imperfections Dave Parker has, but the Lord knows more of Dave's faults than I do. So that Parker, I love it when I blindside you when you don't expect it. But seriously.
But that's so true.
And but he does know us. Yeah, we can't fake him out. He knows that we're weak. He
knows. But we try sometimes.
We do.
We cannot hide from the Lord.
And to me, that's a comforting thing because, and that's why I included it in my Stop Worrying and Start Living book. I included this verse because of the fact that sometimes we panic thinking, well, I've got to act a certain way or I've got to come to the Lord in a certain way. Otherwise, he won't listen to me. But the thing is, the Lord knows me. He knows that I have imperfections. He knows that I might have a short fuse. Mm-hmm. He knows, such as in today's gospel, the message we have to forgive others indefinitely. He knows that I may not want to do that.
I just did you.
But, well, thank you. There's a great example.
No.
There's a great example. But he's going to love us anyway, so he knows you. So just go to him. Be honest. If you don't trust him, say, Lord, you know what? I don't really trust you. I'm worried about this problem because I don't trust you. That's going to make you feel a lot better. It's not going to make you look any worse in his eyes. He's going to love you just as much because he already knows everything about
us.
Absolutely. Right? So let's not forget that. Okay. I want to thank Chris Stewart and Bobby Schindler for joining us on the program today.
Very good.
Quickly, tomorrow on the show, I want to give you an idea of some of the guests that are going to be coming up on the program. Tomorrow on the show, we'll be joined by local Philadelphia OBGYN, pro-life OBGYN, Dr. Monique Rubirous. She has a great story. She's got a new book out called A Story of Renewal and Lessons Learned. Dr. Rubirous had a major mm-hmm. conversion experience, mm-hmm. and man, it has really overflowed into her work. She is boldly pro-life. What a great example for us all. And also our yes. friend Dan Burke will be joining us on the program tomorrow to help us with some spiritual direction.
Mm-hmm. And he's so good at
he
it.
He is good. He's good. Absolutely. Very, very in-demand speaker and a mm-hmm. very busy guy, but he's willing to come on the show. And I'm really grateful for that.
And a good sense of humor.
He does. He does. Yeah. Now, next week on the program, very quickly, we're going to be joined by Randy Hain. Randy Hain is the president of Servium Partners Consulting and Coaching Organization. He's based out of Atlanta, Georgia. He's written several books. He's just a popular business speaker. He's written several books, but he recently posted an online article, "Oh Joyful Catholics, Where Are You?" So what a great topic. I invited
Randy. Two of them are here, folks.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, a lot of us need to get more joyful. What's mm-hmm. the problem? We've got such an amazing gift in our Catholic faith. Why aren't we more joyful? So Randy's mm-hmm. going to be on sharing that with us. Also, our friend Chris Stepien, the author of Dying to be Happy, he's going to be back with us. Now, did you, Mr. Parker, ever watch
Good Guests All. Yeah.
Did you ever watch the program Undercover Boss?
Yes.
Okay. A few years ago, Dina Dwyer Owens was featured. She is the she's on the board of directors for the Dwyer Group. They have more than 11 franchise brands. This is one of my favorite episodes. And Dina is a motivational speaker. She has been writing about business ethics. And I think this is going to be a great topic. Dina's going to be on the show with us on Tuesday. And I can't wait to talk to her, because I remember when that first aired on Undercover Boss, my wife Eileen and I were watching, and I said, you know, she's really nice. What a great lady. Well, she wants to come on the show. So she's going to be on also next week. And, of course, we're going to have a lot of other guests. But Jeannie Mancini, mm-hmm. the president of the March for Life, is going to be here with mm-hmm. us on our pro-life segment.
I was going to say, might she come in undercover and be a guest? And I mean, wouldn't that be interesting?
We wouldn't know.
We wouldn't know. We are about
now,
two
now
minutes.
You got me thinking. All right, now they stuck a pin in my balloon, Dave, and completely deflated me. Hey, you have you want to extend an invitation
on the first and third Saturdays of each month at St. Francis Cabrini Parish in Fairless Hills, Pennsylvania. We have a men's prayer rosary group. It meets at 7 a.m. You're more than welcome, any men that are listening. And again, we are a very robust group, but a thoughtful, prayerful, wonderful group. And anything that is said in that stays in the group. But we say the rosary.
Oh, awesome.
We do so many things, and it's so uplifting. So that's this this Saturday at 7 a.m. Try and get there about 9:45. And it's the first and third Saturdays of the month.
And after the meeting, Dave is going to treat you to breakfast. So if you just kidding. Just kidding. No.
Well, I bring in donut holes. So.
Hey, there you go. Hey, in all seriousness, I mean, that's awesome that you guys are doing that. So I encourage anybody who's in the area to stop on by. I mean, if Dave's there, you know, and I'm serious, I'm not joking about this. If Dave's involved, you know this has got to be a good group.
Absolutely.
Because you take your faith seriously,
I do.
You are such a positive and uplifting evangelist mm-hmm. that anybody would want to hang out with.
And it's a way to recharge. And it doesn't matter. Right. And we've had so many men who have been fallen away, who are converts, reverts. And, I mean, it's the fellowship
awesome.
That we share. And there are many other men's groups in the area, I must say.
Yep. But so, this is a good one, and you're part of it. So if Dave Parker says it's good, I invite you to join the St. Francis Cabrini
yes.
men's group.
Yes.
Right? Saturday at 7 a.m.
Yes. Thank you, Gare.
All right. So we are coming to the end of the show. Dave, thanks as usual for hanging out with me today.
A blessing.
And remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. He sees you. He knows you. Don't try to fool him. He knows exactly what you're all about. But do me a favor. Just turn around and say hi to him, since he's right with you anyway. Until next time, God bless you. Thanks for listening.